Psalm 23. Do you ever find that your feelings and your faith are in conflict? Do you ever feel like your feelings and truth are in conflict? If I were to mention to you the word Ferguson or Officer Wilson, would those words mean anything to you? If you've watched the news the last couple of days, have they not? I mean, if you've watched the news, if you haven't, then you're blessed. But if you have, then you know about that situation. And I'm not commenting on the situation for what happened, but just drawing on that, I wonder how many people who either in the news media or in the different cities around the country have expressed themselves so vehemently one way or the other, about their opinion about what happened, actually know what happened. I think a couple nights ago they released all of the stuff online or whatever, all of the evidence or whatever. How many people do you think have a strong opinion about it who have not read any of the evidence? A lot, you think? A lot. Now you say, well, what do you think about it? It's not the point. I'm not. How you think about it, not the point. I'm just saying that that's just the reality of it. That people tend to draw strong, passionate conclusions in the moment. I heard this week of a study that was done, and they took a certain number of people in the study, and they in a family-like or a friend-like setting, they had someone introduce an event from that person's past. Like if it was Karen and I would get if I was one of the subjects of the study, then I would be around my friends and my family, whatever, and then somebody would say to me, "Don't you remember when this happened?" And then I would say, "Well, yeah, I remember that." And then we would start talking about it. And the more we talked about it, the more the details would come back to my mind about what had happened. And I'd become very vocal about or expressive about what actually happened. The only problem was that the plant of the idea was a placebo. It wasn't real. It was found that in the large number of people, that if an idea was planted in their mind, they would start taking things evidently. I mean, this study indicated that these people weren't purposely trying to lie, but what they, I guess, the most happened is an idea gets planted, and then in your computer upstairs, you start drawing scenes from these events in your life, and somehow they then gravitate towards this idea of an event that never really happened in your life. And now you become, "Oh yeah, I remember that. But it never actually happened." Excuse me for a second. Let me solve that problem. Thank you. It never actually happened. Now I'm saying that, both examples, just to say that we have to govern and we have to bring into focus and to check our feelings and our thoughts to the truth of God's word. Because we all have feelings. I mean, for some of you, tomorrow is a wonderful day. And to others, it's not a very much of a day at all. It's just a day. But regardless of that, I've got to guard my feelings. Now, before we read Psalm 23, may I set it up by reading chapter 22, verses 1 to 3. My God, this is a messianic psalm, predicting, prophesying the Messiah. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. Now, I don't know about you. I can relate to that phrase. Can you? Can you relate to the fact of going through a difficult time and looking, finding, trying to figure out why God is not hearing you the way you feel like you need to have him hear you right then? It happens. And in the night season, and I am not silent. Even though I'm crying and you're not hearing me, I'm not silent. Verse 3, but thou art holy, O thou, that inhabitest the praise of Israel. Now look at verse 4. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. All I'm saying to you is this, that through, and I love the Psalms for that, one of those reasons, many reasons, but one reason is for this, it is so transparent about how we feel about life and what we experience and what we know about God. Now, I'm saying that because I want to give you just three things to hang some thoughts on this Thanksgiving week, okay? I want you to be thankful for the shepherd that you can trust. I want you to be thankful for that shepherd that you can trust, that shepherd that you can rely upon. And I wanted to use Psalm 23, a psalm that magnifies this truth to us. You realize sheep that are kept like this shepherd keeps them are sheep that cannot live in the wild by themselves. If you have sheep that are kept in a fold and they go off by themselves, they will not survive. They are not capable of surviving on their own. And you and I are not capable of surviving without our shepherd. And we need to be reminded. Three things. Number one, I want to thank God, and I want to encourage you to thank God for the shepherd that possesses us. Just three simple thoughts. The shepherd that possesses us. Look at verse 1, okay? The Lord is my shepherd. Now, that is a dramatic phrase that we're used to, because we were used to hearing the psalm. At a funeral you hear it, other times you hear it, maybe reading your Bible. But that idea is so personal and so individual. He is my shepherd. Okay? That means I am part of a flock, but he is my shepherd. There's an individual component to that. This past week I heard when I use political illustrations, I am not making a political point, okay? I'm just making it, it's in the news, I'm making an illustration, it's just like a sports illustration. But I heard the president this week make a comment about saying, he said, you know, and your president, if he used the term, I've heard other presidents, they say, you know, I am your president, and trying to make it personal. But you just the nature, okay, who the president is, okay, what party, there's not that personal component to it, because he's way up, he's there, and there's so many of us. There's a detachment that just can't be eclipsed, really. But this is the God of the universe. He is my shepherd. And then look at the phrase that follows that. I shall not want, which means, okay, that the word want means that I have nothing more that is needed. That this possession is enough to sustain me, and that's a decision I have to understand. At the end of the day, he is all I have, and he is all I need. I want you to think about that this Thanksgiving week. Thank God. It's okay to thank God for the other things he's given you, but understand that if all those things were to evaporate this very moment. This very moment, if everything you're thankful for evaporated and all you had was God, your shepherd, you would not need anything else. He said, I don't know about that, preacher. Well, you better know about it. So that's how everybody ends their life. Everybody ends their life with everything else being removed except for God. He is the only one that's always going to be there. And he possesses me. And what's the result? Look at verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture, and he leads me. The two things I want you to think about this as far as results is, first of all, he makes me. He makes me do what I don't want to do. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that he doesn't let me go and say, well, just whatever you want to do, I'll see you in heaven. I'm glad of that. I was talking to a Christian this week who's really struggling. He says, you know what? I just want to die and go to heaven. I just want to get there. Even if I'm put in a shack out back, I just want to get to heaven. What he was saying was, I don't want to really bother about how to live my life here. I just want to go ahead and skip all of that and go to heaven. I said, well, you just can't do that. He is going to make me. He's gonna bring pressure in my life to make me do what he wants me to do. And then he's going to lead me to the very things I need. Now, I don't always understand those two words. I can't always see them clearly. I can't always discern, why is he making me? Is this what's happening here and leading me? I don't know how it's all working out, but I do know that he's in the habit, he's in the practice, because he's my shepherd. He owns me. I belong to him. Now, some of you understand that. Some of you have things you own that you take care of. Some of you take care of your tools. Some of you take care of your cars. Some of you take care of certain things you have around the house. There's something that you care for, that you possess, and you care for. He possesses you. He cares for you. I want you to understand that this Thanksgiving week, and I want to encourage you tonight and tomorrow, with all the stuff that may be going on in your life, to rest in the fact that he possesses you. And keep that fact and truth in front of you, and process, now watch this, process your life through that lens, that he possesses you. Number two, the shepherd that protects you. Now, I need this because I can do some foolish things. I was remembering, for some reason this week, I was remembering the story I told you, I think, before. I know I told you before. But when we were at in the mountains, Cades Cove, and we were camping, and this is years before we ever started cycling, Karen and I, the cycling that we do now. So we rented some bikes. There was four of us, Karen and I and Jonathan and David. And there were all these warnings when you checked your bike out. They were saying at this particular point, walk your bike down the hill. And they showed pictures of mangled bikes because it turns like this. And for some reason, we got there and I just did the stupid thing. I thought they meant it unless you were a fazenda. You know, I thought, well, fazendas are different. That doesn't mean me. You say, well, how could you be so foolish? Well, can I ask you to look in the mirror occasionally? And I suspect you can be that way in some other areas, maybe not that. But before you get on your high horse and think you never make mistakes like that, but I did. And, of course, the challenge with that was David, our youngest son, decided to follow suit with me. And there wasn't one, we probably didn't get one cycle of pedal all the way around before I'd realized that we had made a serious error. And David was in trouble because he took off faster than I did. And if I had to pedal down to him, down the hill, catch him and brake for both of us to get us to brake in time. Now, I don't know how it all worked out, but it obviously worked out. We stopped in time. But in the midst of my foolishness, I, as his father, had to step in, even though I caused it. Now, I want to say this to you. Every challenge you face, every need you have for protection, was at some level, however you want to, whatever words you want to use, because God is sovereign, great truth, God allowed that scenario to come into your life. So right now, if you're in need for God to manifest his protective power in your life, understand that's there because God, in his sovereign plan, has allowed that. If you don't believe that, read Ephesians chapter 1, 1 through 11. It's there. Even my problems, even my difficulties. Now, I can't explain that to you because I know what you're thinking. You think I'm thinking, well, you know, if it was my kid, I wouldn't make him suffer. but you know that that's part of it. At lunchtime today, we stopped by and picked up Adam, because Jonathan and David and Marty were working, so we stopped by. They were having a Thanksgiving thing at that thing. And that's one of those, you know, they have these different corrals, and they keep kids. It's a, what, daycare, is that what it's called? Day camp, daycare, something, day, that's what kids are, okay? Little kids. So I walk in, and all the kids are there, and I saw a couple of kids, and they're saying, rah, rah. I said, what are you crying for? And they were just crying. And I noticed that the workers weren't, they weren't like unkind, but you know, you kids just cry sometimes. Now, what do you do when a kid cries? Do you always pick them up? Not if you want to have sanity in your life. Okay? You know, I've learned this. Do they need to be changed? Are they hungry? Are they sick? No, and they just want to cry. Well, then just have at it. Have you ever seen a child like that crying with passion? Have you ever seen that? You know, like the world is coming to an end. And they know that only if you would pick them up, if you would pick me up, my life would be complete. I'm sitting here, I'm standing here at 1 foot, 2 inches, whatever big they are. I don't know how big they are when they're that age. But they're just, and I'm not that heavy. But if you, and they're looking up at their mother or their father or some adult or whatever, when they do that to me, I said, listen, just go. You need to eat something. My response is, eat something, you'll be fine. Ada was crying this afternoon, so I grabbed a banana and said, eat this. And she did. So I said, shut up, that was good. But the point is, when they're crying like that, they're saying, they want, right? You know what, Matt? Listen, we often live that way with our Heavenly Father. We're crying up a storm, see? God, you don't understand. If you pick me up, get me out of this. Yeah, that's what I said. But look at verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, he's going to protect me. Protect me through the course that he's chosen for me and through the challenges I must face in that. This Thanksgiving week, can I encourage you to thank God that he's always protecting you. He's always at work in your life. He's never going to be asleep. He's never going to miss something. I know that difficulties in your life right now are very, very significant to you. And they're valid. They are your difficulties. They're your heartaches. They're your challenge. We all have them. The only people at church that don't have those kind of burdens are those that are laying up front for a few moments during their last service. If they're not laying down in a box, then everybody else is in the same boat. There's nobody here does not deal with that. Doesn't deal with the fact of raising our hands up and just crying like bloody murder, saying, God, why don't you just pick me up and solve this problem? I mean, you are God. You know? You've got the cattle on a thousand hills. Can't you just go take some of the market for us so we can pay this bill? I mean, come on. Where are you at? He's protecting you. You say, well, I don't see it. I respect that. I don't like it. Those kids crying at the nursery today, they didn't like it either. But we have to trust our Heavenly Father. And this Thanksgiving season, thank God that he possesses you. Thank God that he protects you. And number 3, thank God for the shepherd that provides for us. He protects us, but he also provides for us. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. That wonderful book that we've preached through a couple of times are used to preach this passage, the shepherds look at the 23rd Psalm. All of these visual expressions have great deep truths to them. I'm just pointing out the general truth tonight, and that is he provides for us. He provides us with our enemies from without. He provides us with our needs within. And then look at the summary in verse 6. Surely goodness, that's what's best for me, and his mercy, that's his pity for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now that is a truth. That's not how I feel. I do not always feel that goodness is in my life. There are times when you see a financial report, right? Or you see somebody walk away from the Lord and it breaks your heart. You think, that's not the best here. What's going on here? But God is at work. And in your life, God knows what's best. He said, I don't see it that way. Well, that's why he's God. It's not why he is, but he's God. And you know, and the differential, now think about that. When Ada's doing there, and she's not wet, and the other thing either, she doesn't need to be changed, and she doesn't need any food or nothing else, she just wants to be held because she just wants to be held, and she's been held. She needs to be going to do something else. And she's crying with all that passion that a little kid can cry with, and those big crocodile tears, you know, those fake tears they produce when they do that. And like, I'm dying, I'm melting kind of thing. All right. When they do that, it is so real to them. Now watch this. The difference between that 1 or 1.5 year old's knowledge of life around them and yours as an adult is huge. It is huge. Huge, the difference in understanding life and time and everything else is huge. Now, how much difference is it between your understanding and God's? I mean, it makes the difference between you and the 1-year-old almost not measurable in comparison. How far am I from that door back there? How far am I from the moon? If you compare the two distances, this distance is probably almost, not, can't even measure it almost because that's such a great distance. That doesn't make it easier, but it makes it understandable. And this Thanksgiving season, I know I've heard some shows and watching on television, and they say, you know, text us and tell us what you're thankful for, or email us or tweet us or whatever, and tell us what you're thankful. Tell us, what are you thankful for? And that's okay to do that. Tonight we did that. It's okay to say all the things you're thankful for, but I want you, if you would, to maybe go over the whole Thanksgiving idea, at least for some time over the next 24 to 36 hours, at a higher altitude. So you don't see all the smaller things. I mean, that's good to do. But just thank God that he owns you. He possesses you. Thank God that he is protecting you. Thank God that he is providing for you. And he does it all the time because he is your shepherd that loves you. So in your heart, take a deep breath and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to rejoice in who you are. Father, bless, we pray, these truths to our heart. Help us this evening to rejoice in you and just who you are and what you do for us because of our relationship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.